On today's Insights, is your contact form hurting your staffing firm? It might be time to break up with Twitter, and we chat about employer branding for the holidays. Today's Insights is brought to you by Haley Marketing's Hot Summer Deals. Looking to fire up your marketing or recruiting? Let us help light the fire. To learn more about Haley Marketing's 8 Hot Summer Deals, visit haleymarketing.com/summer. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights, tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your recruitment and digital marketing. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing, Matt Lozar. Matt, I'm going to be honest. I'm actually a little nervous about one of the takes I'm about to bring to this episode. Is it time for the staffing industry to break up with Twitter?
You don't want to miss segment two.
I'm excited about the take. I'm excited. I'm a little nervous, but it's going to be a good episode. You ready to get started?
Let's go.
All right, let's get to the show.
Content Blueprint.
Matt, this is a hot button for both of us lately. For 23 episodes now, we've shared our insights on content marketing and how to use content as a way to drive inbound leads for staffing and recruiting firms. What we've failed to talk about is the end of that funnel, the contact form. When we think about the contact form, I want to use this time to stress the importance of a few key elements of the actual contact form itself. So let's get started with the form itself just being easy to use.
The form definitely needs to be easy to use because we want to have a very simple capture method. We want to, especially with more traffic coming on mobile, that capture method needs to be easy to use, easy to fill out for mobile devices, since, you know, greater than 50% of traffic for staffing websites right now we're seeing is on mobile versus desktop. So a clean, easy to use capture form is vitally important to proving the ROI and value of any marketing, especially, you know, content marketing and inbound marketing.
Yeah, and we said contact us form. It's really any form on your website. To Matt's point, it has to be easy to use on both mobile and desktop. If you have a mobile experience on your website that becomes a bottleneck for that candidate, think about how they're going to leave your site, go somewhere else, and ask somebody else for their help. We want that contact form to be incredibly easy to use. What exactly do you need from them to follow up? Is it a name, an email address, a short section where they can type in some notes? What do you really need to get that ball rolling? If you're thinking through what you don't need, eliminate those fields from the contact form. But again, we want that to be easy on both desktop and mobile. When somebody comes to your contact form, they shouldn't have to pinch and zoom to get to extra fields on that form. They should be able to see that really nice and easy, be able to type in what they're trying to achieve, and then click that submit button so that they can be taken to the next phase of the process.
And I think by contact forms, we want to say contact us forms, job applications, request talent, request for manpower, something we see on a lot of sites. So those are what we mean by contact forms. And something I think is really interesting is what information do you need?
Yep.
And here at Haley Marketing, we changed our job application form, you know, job application layout about 12 months ago. It was around fourth quarter 2018, and that showed some really great improvements. But I also wanted to jump into this study from HubSpot to where it's, they'll say if you change your form layout from 4 fields to 3 fields, so the number of pieces of information you need, if you just decrease it from 4 to 3, your conversion rate's going to increase by 50%, which is a huge increase. So it's really important to think about which information do you need in that form. Like, you don't need to get their entire work history or their entire business information. It's really a capture form just to get a warm lead to deliver to a recruiter or to a member of your sales team.
Let's move on to the next point here, Matt, that makes it incredibly easy for the individual to know that they've actually left that submission. So I was looking at a staffing website throughout this past week, and we were working through a situation where the contact form would capture all the data, but when you click submit, there was never a prompt that said, thank you for leaving this or thank you for getting in touch with us. It didn't go to a different page on the site. Nothing flashed across the screen saying submitted. Nothing happened. So from a user experience standpoint, and I know I experienced this myself personally, so I can only imagine what a frustrated candidate would feel like, I must have clicked submit at least 15 times. I then went into that individual website, I went into the back end of the site through WordPress and looked at the form, and all of the information was captured. But I, as the end user, didn't know that. So you're in this state of, well, did I submit this? Did I not? What should I do next? Are they going to call me? Are they not going to call me? We need to be better from a candidate experience standpoint.
We need to put something in there that says, at the very basic level, thank you for submitting your information. That's the basic level. If you want to take that to the next step, that next level, thank you for submitting your information. Our team will follow up with you in the next X amount of business days, whatever your process is. Or even if you want to think, even take it to that third level, as I kind of walk through this, is maybe have a link to a guide or a resource, or take them back to somewhere else on your website, or to follow you on social media, or maybe sign up for job alerts, or any other method to keep that engaged, because you have their attention. They came to your site, they submitted their contact information, which is a big step, but then build off of that, capitalize off that attention, and continue that engagement with the interested job candidate or, you know, business owner.
And if you say that you're going to get back to somebody in 24 to 48 hours through that form, you have to get back to them in 24 to 48 hours. I don't care if it's a weekend, a holiday, that doesn't matter. The candidate doesn't care. I know personally, I went through and I was looking at a marketing website, and they had said that they were going to reach out within like 3 to 5 days about an ebook. I never got it. They just never followed up with me. So for me, I'll never go back to that site. Think about the candidate experience. They don't care if it's a weekend. They don't care if they're submitting this contact form at 7 p.m. If you say you're going to get back in 12 to 24, 24 to 48, whatever that range is, you have to stick to that.
And there's also research out there that'll show from the candidate experience side, we kind of focus on that a little bit here, even if it's a long capture form or long expectation, if you set those expectations in the beginning of this form will take 12 minutes to fill out, or even 20 or 25 minutes, that increases conversions because it sets our expectations in the beginning. If you just start on a content or a application and it continues and continues and continues, you're going to get frustrated because you have no idea when this indefinite process is going to end. So set those expectations in the beginning and really think about the experience from the candidate side. And like we've said on past episodes, it's not just job applications, but apply for, you know, fill out a contact form on your site or have somebody else, you know, fill out the form and get their, you know, secret shopper feedback and figure out, determine how to improve that experience.
The last real point that I want to stress here, Matt, is to make sure that that contact form is being routed to somebody in your office's email so that as Brad Biley fills out the contact form on your staffing website, you're notified immediately of that via your inbox. Don't become a bottleneck for the response phase of this contact form. You have to make sure that somebody is getting those emails and then following up with them. I know that we had looked at a website, again, an additional website here just this past week or two, and the forms were being captured, but nobody in the office was being notified because the person who was on the notification had left. So they were going to essentially a dead inbox. We need to change that. So the last real point that I want to stress, as you look at your own productivity and making sure that you're following up with people that are reaching out through contact forms, who is being notified? Who's getting that inbox message? Are they following up? What's your process when they're following up? How can you make that more efficient? But really think through that phase of the process.
I think that's vitally important because we're doing all this work to invest in marketing or anything to drive these conversions and inbound traffic. But if nobody's following up, if nobody's even receiving them to follow up, then everyone's going to get frustrated and nobody's going to win in the end. And people are just going to think that your marketing activities don't work and it's a waste of time and resources and it should be put into a different aspect of your business to invest in.
Matt, to close out the segment, I think you said it best. If we want to go through the contact form and we want to make sure that we have an ideal candidate experience, you have to secret shop yourself. Have somebody in your office go through the contact forms on your website and really document the process. Where are their bottlenecks? Where are their frustrations? Have them do that on both desktop and mobile. Make sure you're checking on iPhone and Android devices. After you have somebody do it inside your office, have somebody who doesn't really know your business go through that form. Have a friend or a family member do it. Somebody that's not biased and is just going to give you good feedback. Have somebody look at it that is willing to give you that hard feedback. Because the only way that we can improve is if we actually go through that and understand how we can get better one day at a time. We're going to take a real quick break. When we get back, Matt and I are going to discuss Twitter. Is it time for the staffing industry to break up with Twitter?
Hi, this is David Stearns, CEO at Haley Marketing. It's summer, and that's our favorite time of the year. So to celebrate, we're having hot deals on several of our most popular services, including websites, blogging, video marketing, recruiting, digital dominance, and our award-winning content marketing service, Haley Mail. Want to know more about our hot summer deals? Check out HaleyMarketing.com/summer.
Social reach.
I want to preface this segment by saying I personally love Twitter. Matt, I know you do too.
Yeah, don't check my screen time.
That said, I think I finally saw the data I need to put Twitter on notice. Earlier this week, I looked into collective job board data for all Haley Marketing Group job boards. So any client that has the Haley Marketing job board has a universal UA code through Google Analytics so we can look at data across the industry. I was looking at this data to really understand the difference between mobile experience and desktop experience. And as I was in there and I figured that out, I then wanted to look at, okay, from a social media standpoint, how many individuals in 2019 have come back to any client's job board throughout the year from social media? So I broke this down into three social platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And again, as we looked at data from throughout 2019, all the traffic coming back from these three platforms is the following. From Facebook, just over 42,000 sessions. From LinkedIn, just under 18,000 sessions. From Twitter, 317 sessions back to anybody's job board throughout 2019. Is it time to put Twitter on notice? Is it time to pull the plug on Twitter? Should we invest more time somewhere else? Matt, get us started.
Let's take the step back. And we've said numerous times on Insights, you have to share your content where your audience is.
Correct.
And that's where Brad is moving towards with this data. So for jobs on Twitter, the data shows it's not a great place to share content right now.
Correct.
That's what we're looking at. We're looking at just job board traffic.
Just
job
boards.
We're not looking at any of the other content from your website, which would be a different discussion.
Correct.
So for sharing jobs on there, that to me would say, don't put a lot of time into that. I mean, is it even worth setting up an automated feed? Yes and no, because it does get your content out there without you spending any resources. But from a user experience standpoint, it might not be great. So to looking at the data, if you're spending a lot of time posting jobs on social media, I mean, on Twitter, excuse me, specifically, that's ROI negative. It's not bringing back applications and not even getting people back to that contact form we talked about here in segment one.
It's scary. I know for 6.5 years at Haley Marketing Group now, I have really tried to lead the charge for Twitter being effective for staffing and recruiting. And to Matt's point, this isn't data from collective Haley Marketing Group websites. This is just back to job-specific data, the job board themselves. As we continue this segment, we want to stress that when you're deploying a social media strategy, we need to think about your goals. So what is the goal of Twitter? What is the goal of your social strategy on Twitter? You know, for us at Haley Marketing Group, and we think about SMART goals, we really want to define them by either applications or job orders. We want to get so far down the line that it's not just, oh, we had 3 likes on Twitter, because that doesn't matter, right? What matters is the fact that somebody applied to a job or somebody requested service, requested a conversation with you about your services. So when I looked at this job board data and I saw that astonishingly, we had 42,000 plus sessions back to collective job boards from Facebook and only 317 from Twitter, I mean, I'm ready to say that this isn't worth it. And it's at least not worth it in the sense of using Twitter to drive applications.
Right.
We can think through, okay, what is Twitter? Well, Twitter is a conversation. We've said for years that Twitter is one-to-one dialogue, reaching out with candidates, having that conversation, being very personal on Twitter. Twitter is a glorified chat message. Using Twitter to set up an auto feed of all your jobs to just post jobs, it isn't effective. I mean, the data proves that it's not effective. And it's difficult for me to admit it because how much I love Twitter and how much I can see Twitter working from the stance of having that conversation and growing personal brands or even organizational brands. But in terms of just driving applications, I would double down on Facebook because of this data.
For that goal, yes. Sure. And I think Brad's, the segment title here, should you break up with Twitter? For posting jobs, yes. For other tactics, I'd say no, because it can work well. I mean, our CEO, David Cerns, if he's at a conference, will use Twitter to meet with other vendors or even, potential prospects or current clients or speakers or anyone at the conference, because they're engaged with it through the conference, through a hashtag. And that's where that engagement comes back and forth. Should you still post your news on there? That's more different data that, dig into your analytics to look to see where the sources for your blog posts, your other pages on your site are coming from. So would I break up with it? No. Would I break up with it for jobs? Yeah. If you gun to my head, yes. You have to say yes or no.
And you have to think about user experience, right? If you polled your candidate database and said, where do you look for available job opportunities? I can't think of anyone that says, oh, I get my job information from Twitter. It's just not where people go. They're going to go to somewhere like Monster. Maybe they'll go to ZipRecruiter. Maybe, hopefully, they go to a specific staffing firm's website and say, oh, I get my jobs from Company X. We have said for so long that we want Twitter to work. And as we look at the social media landscape, and I'm so thrilled that we capture this data because we can bring it to the industry. You know, if you're sharing jobs, really think through the ROI from every single post. We've said multiple times, every post has a purpose. Before you click publish, what is the purpose of that social media post? If it's to drive applications, consider allocating that time into another opportunity, because right now, in this stage of the game, looking at this data, Twitter's not it.
Seen and heard.
Matt, let's break down employer branding for the holidays and really staffing up for peak production. I know that you recently had a conversation with a client that you're working with from the recruitment marketing landscape. They have some challenges for really finding a lot of individuals for a specific job. Why don't you break that down for us?
Yeah, and Seen and Heard, we like to try to bring maybe if it's a national report or some data or interesting content that we've seen out there in the recruitment space to the segment. And this one I felt was really interesting because I'm sure it's a pain point that other staffing agencies and recruiters are feeling as we ramp up here for end of the year seasonal and holiday staffing. And, my client came to me and said, we have this really great opportunity, this job order for dozens, 50 plus, 100, 200 warehouse positions in a state-of-the-art factory with a really a nationally known chain. And, they have to fulfill a lot of, orders throughout the holidays as consumer shopping picks up, or even as, B2B picks up as well. So how can we get more candidates? And we're not going to Twitter, spoiler alert, but we're jumping on Facebook and trying to reach their audience there. Where employer branding's coming into this, and what kind of, had that light bulb moment above my head, is a lot of people are hiring for seasonal positions in quarter four.
Sure.
So when your staffing company has to hire for it versus your competitors down the street versus even a local employment, local business that's not using a staffing agency, have you created that connection with your target audience throughout the previous 9 months of the year? So when you have this really great opportunity, show up in front of them, if it's on Facebook, if it's email, if it's anywhere, are you at their top of the mind? So they, hey, I know who Acme Staffing Company is.
Sure.
I'm going to go apply for their job, or I have never heard from them. On to the next one.
For me, it's almost like event marketing. So you're thinking through, we have seasonal hiring in Q4. Same way as we have a conference in October. How far back do you need to go when you think about your calendar to actually start ramping up for that event, to start ramping up for that production? Are you telling candidates in June that you're going to need more employees, you're going to have to hire more individuals in October?
I don't even know if I'd go that far.
That far back?
I don't even know if with that tactic, I would go with just being top of mind with them.
Sure.
Being like, who Acme Staffing Company is.
Sure.
Like, so you're in front of them, or, if we're really digging into employment branding here, that reputation management of,
right,
maybe somebody worked for your staffing company 2018 holiday season. Hopefully they had a really good experience. They're going to tell Buddy Joe, Buddy Brad down wherever they've seen them, if it's a summer picnic, if it's, wherever. Yeah, that's a really good place to work for. They can get you some extra cash, some extra hours, so you can make some more money for yourselves during the holiday. So what can you do to build that local presence in the real world and also digitally so that you become a best place to work for someone that, might just need to pick up 16 hours for a couple weekends.
So let's start with reputation management. I think that's the best place to start when you think about really developing who you are in the local market. Everybody, I think it's at 88% of individuals trust a online review as much as they trust a friend or a family member. Everybody that is working for a staffing firm, at least 88%, are going to Google and researching who you are, and more importantly, researching what others have to say about you. So if you're not actively building that online reputation throughout the year, to Matt's point, and developing that employer brand, you're missing out by the time you're coming to hire.
And the best way to build that online reputation is to get more positive reviews. It's not to respond to the negative ones or even avoid it. It's honestly, and maybe you can do this for your staff agency this year, is when the holiday season is over and you've really fulfilled and helped them make some more money, you know, provided more work for them through this holiday season, ask them for a review at the beginning of 2020 or at the end of 2019, right at the end of their assignment. Say, hey, what was your experience like? Would you mind leaving us a review? So be positive with that at times when people are apt to leave you really positive reviews to build that base. But also, we can't ignore in the real world too. Like referrals, like if you talk to, I talk to staffing agencies and recruiters all the time, it's referrals are an incredible source of new employees, new placements, new hires, new starts for staffing agencies and recruiters. So what can you do digitally, but also what can you do locally so word of mouth travels fast? And it's the same thing. It's the positive one is the negative one is going to outweigh the positive all the time. So really build off of that positive reviews and get people and ask them to share great testimonials about your staffing agency.
I think that's a great idea, Matt. And going back to that, putting old school in finger quotes or going back to those grassroots tactics, you know, as social media and the digital marketing landscape continues to shift and pivot, staffing firms and even marketers are looking for the newest thing to do, the newest idea. Oh, how do we use Facebook groups? Or how are we going to deploy a TikTok strategy to recruit? What are we going to do differently this year? Why don't we go back to our foundation, go back to what's always worked, and actually talk to the people that we've employed? Ask them if they have any friends or family members that you can help. Go back to being human and just having that conversation.
It's hard to find. I mean, it's always hard, I would think, to find seasonal talent, but you know, 3.8% unemployment right now. And
maybe not though, because seasonal talent, everyone needs more money for the holidays. So if I can work an extra 20 hours to not have to charge Christmas presents for, you know, a daughter or a family member or whatever, I would pick up those extra shifts. And I think that it would be pretty similar. You know, a weekend shift here and there to alleviate some of that stress makes perfect sense.
So Brad, correct me there. That was a good point, Brad.
Thank you.
Point, Brad. And it's, so what can you do to build that brand throughout the year? So you're not, you know, begging and pleading people. It's September, October. And this kind of what I'm talking about here, they do a really good job. Like they have a lot of online presence. So they're not just coming to us in this moment of need to where, hey, we're desperate. It's, yeah, we need workers for these positions, but they've also done a really good job locally and digitally to build that brand so that they can be a best place to work and top of mind. So when these positions and this new job order opens, they're ready to get those candidates to fulfill that job order and bring in new revenue for their business as well.
If you have questions about your specific employer brand or you want to talk to Matt Lozar about your recruitment marketing strategy, you can reach out to Matt on LinkedIn. You'll search for Matt Lozar and you can connect with him. I know he'd be glad to talk to you about building and strengthening your employer brand in your local market. That's our show, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we ask that you please tell just one coworker about it this week. Have a question for us? You could tweet us at Haley Marketing and let us know what you're thinking, or email info@haleymarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You can check out HaleyMarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. For my podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. We'll see you next time.